Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. It is great to be here, Arbor. Great to be with you. And Ryan, thank you so much for inviting me. And it's an honor to be here. I met Ryan through Scott Hetherington. Scott has a huge part in our life, Heidi and I, in us coming into the ministry at Antioch Bible Church. So he kind of just sat down with us and was real genuine, letting us know what's involved in getting involved with ministry and was pivotal in our decision there. And so Scott actually introduced me to Ryan. He's like, oh, you got to meet Ryan. And so that's kind of where this relationship has begun. And so it's a blessing to be here with you all. Is that Scott? He's here. I love me some Scott. So I just want you to know, Scott, how important you are in our life. So I am an emotional person. I will not apologize about crying at all. It probably won't be the last time. It definitely hasn't been the first. So I want to read this verse with you. It's for me. Because it reminds me of why I'm here and what the Lord has called me to do as I have this opportunity to share with the church of Christ. So, when I come to you, brethren, I do not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I am with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching are not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but instead on the power of God. And that is why we are here this morning, and that's why I'm here. Let's pray really quickly. Lord, we praise you that you are a God that we can come into your presence. And you invite us just to sit. Lord, to sit and to experience your presence. Lord, you are a God that hears, and you are a God that speaks. You are a God that loves, and you are a God that desires for us to know you and to live abundantly. So God, as we search out what you have to say this morning, open our ears, open our minds. Empty us, Lord, so that we can come and just receive. It's not about what we can do better, but it's about this idea of how do we be? How do we be present with you? Lord, thank you that you're with us this morning. And we ask these things in your powerful name. Amen. So I've enjoyed listening to the Unstuck series for the past 4 weeks. I have listened to the whole series on anxiety, addiction, self-sufficiency, and discontentment. And I know there's a few others that are coming. But this journey was designed to help us break free from the strongholds that trap us, to experience the freedom that Jesus Christ offers. And there are a few questions I believe every person must genuinely consider before becoming a disciple on this journey of being stuck to freedom. Question number one, are you willing to be transparent? Are there areas of your life where you feel stuck or confined and you are not experiencing freedom? How would you know? You must be a truth teller. Says the Spirit leads us into all truth. We must learn how to be truth tellers. Question number two, how do you define freedom? Many times we define it as the absence of whatever is enslaving us or the bars that hold us into bondage. But how does the Bible define freedom? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So freedom is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. That's really important as we start to talk about this being unstuck. Because if our focus is around what do I get rid of, instead of what fills me, that's a whole different starting point. Number three, third question, is there a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone? If there is, for you personally, would Jesus characterize your relationship with him as knowing about him or actually knowing him? How would he define it? Because we're great at comparing ourselves to others. That in itself is apathy. An authentic, intimate relationship is one of sharing your heart and hearing his heart in vulnerable and transparent conversations and life experiences. Intellectual knowledge versus experiential knowledge. Today, my hope and prayer is that you will receive both. The message you hear from me today will not transform you. Now, some of you are like, wait a second, what did you just say? And why are you up there? Intellectually knowing about definitions, facts, truths, and statistics can inform, but will never transform. However, if these messages move you to honestly engage and experience the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, freedom, true freedom is possible. Better yet, it's promised. So this week I want to address the topic of being stuck in apathy. First, we're going to define the term. Second, I'm going to share specific area of apathy because there's a lot of paths that we could go with that. And then third, we're going to look at a couple passages in Scripture. And then lastly, we're going to finish up with some moments of contemplative prayer. Experiencing his presence as he leads each of us personally into the truth we need to take the next step. So what is apathy? Apathy is defined by a lack of interest, lack of emotion, lack of enthusiasm, or a lack of concern. Other words commonly used to describe apathy include indifference, a lack of a goal-directed behavior, unresponsiveness. Apathy affects the whole person. It affects us spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. I used to try to compartmentalize all those things. And what I'm realizing now, there's an embodiment of all those. One will always affect the other. And that'll always lead to social impacts and many times isolation, which in my area of work, that is one of the most destructive things, isolation. A person doesn't just wake up one morning feeling and living in apathy. It is a slow corrosion of beliefs about something or someone, many times due to something painful or hurtful that we experience that eventually leads to a place where we feel lost, alone, hopeless, and many times fearful about what this present reality of living in apathy means for my future. Let me say this one more time. I believe that apathy is a slow corrosion of beliefs about something or someone, many times due to something painful or hurtful that we've experienced, that eventually leads to a place where we feel lost, hurt, hopeless, and many times fearful about what this present reality of living in this apathy means for my future. Have you been there? Have you ever experienced this in your life? Maybe you're there currently. I experienced this over a 2-year gap of time spanning my last year of vocational ministry and the following year on a very unfamiliar path. It was a desert, and it was an oasis at the very same time. Apathetic, I was hurt. All I could say is, I feel so lost. That's the only way I could define it. But yet, I experienced authentic relationship and healing that I have never experienced before. I do understand that apathy can arise for a variety of reasons, and it will have unique characteristics and how it plays out in every person's life in here. I will not be presenting a thorough analysis and science of apathy, But instead, I'm going to focus this morning on some specific ways I have seen and experienced apathy in the church when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's going to be my pathway this morning. If apathy is defined by a lack of something, like the lack of interest, the lack of concern, a lack of direction, a lack of responsiveness, a lack of emotion, then I have to ask, what led me to this place? What is at the source of this issue? I always like to look at it as, what is the term that is opposite of lacking? As I take you through this, this is the journey God was taking me through. This is kind of how I write a message. When I get plugged in and the Spirit is just speaking to me, I'm just writing down, and it's usually my experiences that I'm going through, and he's like, share what I've given you. And so this journey of how I make pathways is kind of what he's taken me through. But what is the term that is opposite of lacking? There was three words that came up: sufficient, abundant, and adequate. Sufficient, abundant, and adequate. So maybe apathy is not about focusing on and trying to change the output. Our advice many times in the church and just in culture, do more, do better. Do more, do better. If someone is lacking in enthusiasm or direction, many times our response is just to remind them of how they should be enthusiastic as a child of God and help them to set goals to free themselves from this apathy that has settled in. Does that sound familiar? We may have just given that advice this week. I'm here to tell you that's not really helpful. Overall, that's not really helpful. How do we know that? Because when we're in that place, it's not really that helpful. So if apathy is not about focusing on the output problem, maybe it has something to do with the input into our lives. What source is providing the truth about the pain, the hurt, the wounds, the fear that produced our apathy over time? So in response to the lack that characterizes apathy, does Jesus have something to say about sufficiency, abundance, or adequacy? I'm going to share with you a couple verses each on one of those things: sufficiency, abundance, adequacy, and then a couple little points that I want to make, and then I'm going to kind of step back into some things that I see, I've seen, experienced in my own self, in my life, and in the church. 2 Corinthians 12, 8 through 12. This is one of my favorite passages. It's a short four verses, but the context of it is so powerful. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. There is no shame in the journey through apathy. Let me say that first of all. There is no shame in the journey through apathy. Jesus Christ is not shaming you for where you're at, and neither should we as fellow believers in Christ. But that's a lot of times what we feel when we're in that place of apathy. Shame, 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 shame. You're not alone in your weakness, and his grace and his power are sufficient for your strength in this journey. It's not a recite a verse and you will be out of apathy. It is remembering that His grace is sufficient for you, even in the midst of that journey. However, notice this phrase, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses. I had to learn to do this with my epilepsy. And it's still present in my life. When I could boast about it as a weakness that kept me dependent on God rather than a weakness that held me back, my perspective of lacking turned to a perspective of sufficiency in the midst of my pain. Boasting about this weakness. John 10:10, let's talk about abundance. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He came that you may have life and life that is overflowing. Not just enough to have life. He said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Now, notice the focus on your life. The enemy wants to destroy your life. The good shepherd is willing to die to save your life. The desire is for you to have an abundant life. This abundant life is connected to the sentence, I am the good shepherd. What do shepherds do? They lead and guide the flock into abundance. Food, living waters, rest, security. 2 Corinthians 3:4 through 6 says, such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate to be ministers of a new covenant. A lot of mention about adequacy and where it comes from. Many of us live in a false identity. The false identity is this: what you do, what you have, and what others say about you. But this verse says our very confidence comes by acknowledging that we are already adequate. Our adequacy is not produced by us living up to our own standard in our own head. Our adequacy is already a reality, and it is present in our lives. Now the question is, will you receive this truth and live out of that true identity in Him? Because remember, your identity is what He says about you. And many times the fear that we're going through, the shame we're dealing with, the guilt that we feel, that keeps us living in this false identity. But He's trying to get us to understand, how do I see you? So experiencing a lack to feel or to be present or to respond with empathy that you feel many times during this apathetic time may be your reality presently, but the hope is that it doesn't have to be your ongoing reality. Hearing these verses and just knowing about His abundance and the reality of your scarcity will not necessarily change your circumstances. And it might even make you feel more apathetic if knowing the truth doesn't seem to offer you any real change or freedom in the near future. Have you been there? So you're like, wait a second. So I know the truth and it's not maybe going to change anything? Before we address the hope of transformation, healing, and freedom, I would like to spend a few minutes taking you through some of the areas of apathy that I have experienced and that I see most clearly in the church. And then we'll get back to talking about how we take that step. How do you actually find that transformation, that healing, that freedom? Most of these areas of apathy I have personally experienced or have heard from multiple pastors and faith leaders across Seattle in my role as a church partnership team with the mission. And maybe some of these areas will resonate with you, and maybe some of them won't. As the Spirit leads us into all truth, I pray that He will bring to your mind and heart anything and everything that He wants to bring out of the darkness into His marvelous light. We don't like to go to these places many times. It's messy. I will first state the words of truth by the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, followed by how I see us living in apathy, even in the light of these truths. Okay, so I'm going to start off with a truth statement from the one who says it, and then I'm going to go in apathy. This is the reality. So truth says, I am transforming you. In apathy, we see ourselves as the same broken and sinful person day after day. Different day, same stuff. Seems to work for others, but I feel no different. So I'll just put on a good face, even though I'm wondering inside if this really works for me. Am I really a new creature? A new creation? Truth says, I offer abundant life. In apathy, I'm living in a scarcity mindset. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough knowledge. I don't have enough gifting to do what I feel like I need to do. I become comfortable with surviving and just getting through the day to wake up and do it again. Truth says, I want to be your friend. I want to be in relationship with you. In apathy, I'm busy. And my life is already full just keeping up with my own life and my responsibilities. Sorry, I skipped down the line. Truth says, I want to be your friend in relationship with you. In apathy, I know a lot about Jesus, but sometimes doubt my intimacy with him. Why is it so hard to find time to be alone with him? Many times, I don't really feel like it. Have you been there? Does God really talk to me? Why is it that I feel like I can hear the enemy so clearly, but yet when you say God speaks to me, does he really talk to me? Does he really love me and want to be around me? I am comfortable doing things for him, but I'm not really comfortable being in solitude with him. Truth says, love your neighbors. In apathy, I'm busy and my life is already full just keeping up with my life and my responsibilities. I have neighbors I connect with, and others I have no interest in connecting with due to my comfort level. My homeless neighbors, they scare me. My neighbors in the sex industry, they disgust me. My neighbors who have a different political view than me frustrate me. I'll love who I choose to love. I can't be there for everyone. Truth says, you are my witnesses. In apathy, I like to be liked. And maybe one day I'll know enough or be good enough to share what I've experienced in my journey with Jesus. I got to know more first. The professionals and the pastors are more qualified than me at sharing. You know, this just isn't my gifting. And last one that I've seen a lot and experienced a lot, truth says, abide in me. In apathy, I'm just a self-sufficient person. And my independence gives me the control I need to be stable and productive. Can I really trust him with this? Does he really know about this? Is he really an expert with this? I know he speaks on a lot of things. This is kind of unique. When I really need help with something, I know who to turn to. What would it actually look and feel like to experience what it means to abide? Not just know the definition to remain, to stay connected, but what would it actually feel like to experience what it means to abide? You know, that could be a lifelong journey, just learning that. Do you see apathy in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you see apathy in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Remember, this is not about shame. This is about authenticity. A lack of enthusiasm, a lack of interest, a lack of concern, a lack of direction, A lack of responsiveness. Has your relationship become another box to fill? A list of things to do because it's what's expected of someone who is serious about their walk. So how do we get unstuck from apathy? How do we experience the hope, the transformation, the freedom that Jesus Christ offers us as his disciples, as his children? John 15, 4 and 5 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." For apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me. Stay connected to me. I am the source for everything you need. That's what he says. In my presence is abundance. In my presence is peace. In my presence is joy. In my presence is love. In my presence is freedom. So how do we stay connected and remain in his presence? And how does this change our current circumstances and lead to transformation from whatever we might be experiencing? Apathy, anxiety, fear, discontentment. It always comes back to an authentic and transparent relationship in complete vulnerability with our Savior and our friend Jesus Christ. Jonah and Job came to mind when I was looking into this topic of spiritual apathy. And you know what? We could attach it to anybody. Any of these stories we could attach it to, because in some regard we could attach it to all of our lives in some aspect or some place. Very different stories and circumstances, but both dealt with apathy. Job found freedom and healing. And for what we know about Jonah, his story did not have a nice happy ending. We actually don't know what happened at the end of the story. So what is the difference in how they dealt with the apathy? I'm going to come back to this question about Jonah and Job, but first let me give you a couple truths that we must practice in order to experience transformation and freedom from spiritual apathy. First, we must be truth tellers. Confession simply means tell the truth. Tell the truth. It is not and never has been about saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry" for the actions that I've taken. It means telling the truth about the situation and the circumstances that I'm currently in or have experienced. Confession is when we can truth tell with the Lord and say, "This is what's happening. This is what's going on. This is the way I feel." Because that's what he can work with in truth. When I create the space to sit alone with God in solitude, it can be initially uncomfortable because our frustrations, our hurts, our wounds, our despair, our fears, our pain surface, and we feel them in our emotions, and this is when we need to be truth tellers with Jesus. "Lord, I feel fearful in this moment. As I prepare to preach at Arbor, I feel this burden and this fear that I won't have the words to say that will make a difference." What if I were to have a seizure? That's happened. What if Pastor Ryan or people are disappointed? What do I know about apathy? That's truth telling. Many times we spiritually bypass our emotions and truth telling because we only want to share what we think God wants to hear, even though he knows exactly what you feel. We want to express what we know or want to believe is true, even though we might not be feeling it at the moment. And Jesus is truth, and he lives in truth. And he loves when his children sit down at his feet and speak the truth. And then he can come along and sympathize with your thoughts and your feelings, and then he will lead you into the light of repentance. And what is repentance? It is choosing to believe and walk in his truth instead of my truth that I believed at the present moment I shared my truth with him. It's that moment when you say, this is my truth. And he says, good. Thank you for sharing that. Now let me expose the lie and let me share my truth. It is many times that 180 degree turn on a new path of belief. My truth at the moment was that I would not have the words to say or that my health condition would expose my weaknesses. The role of the Spirit is to expose the lies and to guide me into all truth. His truth is that he is responsible to give me the words that he wants to share because he is the expert on all things we get stuck in. And it is his grace that is sufficient for me. For his power is perfect in my weakness. Confession, truth-telling, and repentance, walking in his truth, leads to transformation. Remember, freedom is not the absence of bondage, but the presence of someone. So as I learn to abide, to connect, to remain in his presence, this will allow us to get unstuck from the despair, the hopelessness, the pain, and the hurt that reveal themselves in apathy. Coming back to Job and Jonah, what is the difference in how these two men of God dealt with apathy that they experienced on their unique journey? Jonah separated, isolated, lied, and once he did share the truth and confess about why he was so angry, he failed to repent and turn from his truth to God's truth. And he was left sitting in misery and apathy, even though God was doing miraculous works right in front of his eyes. He was transforming people right before his eyes because God's work doesn't stop. Job, on the other hand, never separated or isolated from God or his friends. Even his wife said, I'm out. And he sat in it. And he was a truth teller about all of his emotions. Go read them all. All of his pain, all of his anger, all of his despair. And you think God shamed him for that? When God showed up and shared his truth in the form of 200 plus questions, Job's response was one of repentance, choosing to believe God's truth above his own, and transformation, abundance, and freedom followed. In closing, and at this point, the worship team can come up. There are a couple of questions that you must ask yourself about the relationship of abiding before you can experience this life-giving freedom. Here's some questions I want you to sit with for just a moment, and then we'll go into some time of reflective prayer. Do you believe in a relational God that not only hears you, but speaks to you? Number two, do you believe in a relational God that has real answers to the real questions that you have? There was a point in my life that I never asked God about my fears. But when I did, I was surprised what he brought me. Because I stayed on the superficial level for a lot of years. I could have told you my fear was snakes, and it is. But he's like, oh, no. I'm talking the fears that set you apart for how I've created you to be. Number three, do you believe in a relational God that can use anyone or anything to help bring you healing? Number four, are you willing to be a truth teller? To lay it all out there before God, the good, the bad, the ugly. To see your emotions not as a weakness, but as something God created in us to bring us back to him and say, what do you say about this? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? Number five, are you willing to ask an all-knowing God questions about specific areas of your life? And then are you willing to obey that truth and how he gives it to you? And sometimes the truth he gives you is totally different than where you think he was going to go with that. You're like, what does that even mean? Hang on to it. Walk in it, and you'll see. Coming together as a church isn't just about hearing truth, but it's about experiencing truth. Transformation and freedom does not come from any of these words that were shared, but from the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to spend a moment in prayer, and this is you and God. It's nobody else. It's you and God, and I'm just going to take us through some moments. And I'm going to give some space for you to have these conversations with God. I love writing things down. When God puts things on my heart, on my mind, I love to write them down because sometimes I forget. So if you have a phone or you have something you can write, please do. But let's take a moment. I'm going to lead us through a few of these things in prayer, and then we'll end with a little time of our song to God. Lord, we sit at your feet in this moment. Lord, would you give us a picture of yourself as you come and you sit with us and you hear us and you speak to us? Would you give us a picture of how you show up in this moment? Lord, our desire is to be truth tellers with you. To abide with you. Lord, where am I apathetic in my relationship with you? Will you show me? Will you put it on my heart? Speak truth to me. Where am I apathetic with you in my relationship? Lord, there is no shame. Thank you for sharing your heart with us in love. Lord, are there any lies that I am believing in my apathy? Maybe it's my beliefs in you. Maybe it's in beliefs about myself, beliefs about others. Lord, are there any lies that you want to expose in my apathy? Lord, help me to let go of those lies, to open my hands and let you take that from me. But Lord, as I sit here with my hands, Lord, what is it that you want me to receive? What truth do you want me to know? In the midst of the lies about the apathy, what truth do you want me to know? Lord, the world calls me many names. I call myself many names. But that isn't my identity. Lord, what do you call me this morning as I sit here with you face to face? Being a truth teller, listening to your truth. What is it that you want me to know right here, right now? What name do you give me? What do you say about me? Lord, many times you talk about in your word, you say, arise and go. And arise means that we were maybe sitting, maybe reflecting, maybe listening, but you tell us, arise, get up and go. Lord, as we sat and listened to your truth and we've shared our heart, Lord, what is the one thing that you are calling us to do? Right now, is there one action step that you're saying, take this step? And maybe the step is just believing the truth that you put on our heart. But what is that one step that you want us to take in this moment? God, give us the courage to take the step that you've asked us to take. Lord, thank you that we get to experience you in every moment. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your sympathy, for your compassion, for your empathy, that you understand every weakness that we encounter. And you love us through those circumstances. Thank you for reminding us that we are never alone. We ask these things in your powerful name.